You are listening to the audio podcast of Gethsemane Baptist Church, located in Long Beach, California, pastored by Eli Reynolds.
In your Bibles, please, tonight we're looking at our series, Stones of Remembrance, and we've talked about this now. This is our third message on this, that the Bible characters had a unique way of remembering things. They would, if there was something they wanted to commemorate, they'd set up a pillar of stones. And so that way, when they would see that, it would trigger the memory of what that meant. And they would even name the place after that. Mizpah and Gilgal and other places were named after stones that they had set up, and because it was a truth they wanted to remember. And so when we're dealing with stones of remembrance, we're really, we've taken the avenue of mental warfare. How to deal and what are some weapons we can use in the battle of our mind, because that is the battlefield that we have as a Christian. And so what you choose to think about, what you choose to notice in life, and what you choose to remember, that all plays a huge role in your mental battle. So look at Leviticus 14. And I want to just say this before we read this passage. And this is a good tip for each of you. When reading Scripture, always remember there is one primary interpretation of the passage. It means the passage only really means one thing. So when you read a passage of Scripture, it doesn't mean many things. It means one thing. There's one interpretation as to what that passage meant. But there are a multitude of applications that you can make. When you read, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, there's only one interpretation, but there's many things you could apply to your life from that passage. And so tonight, as we're looking at this, I'm telling you what the interpretation is, but we're going to be using an application about the stones in this passage. So I want to make sure you understand that I'm not saying that what I say tonight is the primary interpretation. It is the applications that we're looking at. Leviticus 14:33, and the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, when ye be come into the land of Canaan, which I give to you for a possession, and I put the plague of leprosy in a house of the land of your possession, and he that owneth the house shall come and tell the priest, saying, it seemeth to me that there is, as it were, a plague in the house. Then the priest shall command that they empty the house before the priests go into it to see the plague, and all that is in the house be not made unclean. And afterward the priest shall go in to see the house, and he shall look on the plague, and behold, if the plague be in the walls of the house, with hollow strakes, greenish and reddish, which in sight are lower than the wall, then the priest shall go out of the house to the door of the house, and shut up the house 7 days. And the priest shall come again the seventh day, and shall look, and behold, if the plague be spread in the walls of the house, then, notice these next few verses, then the priest shall command that they take away the stones in which the plague is, and they shall cast them into an unclean place without the city. And he shall cause the house to be scraped within round about, and they shall pour out the dust that they scrape off without the city into an unclean place, and they shall take other stones and put them in the place of those stones, and he shall take other mortar, and they shall plaster the house. And it would read a few more verses. And if the plague come again and break out in the house, after that he hath taken away the stones, and after he has scraped the house, and after it is plastered, then the priest shall come and look, and behold, if the plague be spread in the house, it is a fretting leprosy in the house, it is unclean, he shall break down the house, the stones of it, and the timber thereof, and all the mortar of the house, and he shall carry them forth out of the city into an unclean place. Let's pray together. Father, bless, I pray, these next few moments that we have together in church, and would you help us to take your word and get some applications tonight from it that would help us in our daily fight with our mental battle. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Stones in the Bible have a lot to do with remembering. What we want to remember here, I want you to write this in. This is a reminder of a plague. A plague. Now, we just went through COVID. I wouldn't call it a plague, but we, certainly we've had a lot of plagues in our world. This is talking about when the children of Israel have come out of Egypt now, and God is giving them laws that will be enacted when they get into the promised land of Canaan. Now, they're not there when this was written, but when they get to Canaan, these are going to be some of the laws that they will abide by. So if they go into a house that God has afflicted with leprosy, the house, for judgment or for whatever reason, and they walk in and they're like, wow, there's a disease in these walls. Now, I don't know if your house has ever been afflicted with leprosy, but maybe you've had mold or some things like that, and hopefully not like black mold or anything like that, but there was something in the walls. And so he's giving some instruction of what do you do when your house has been infected? What do you do when in the very stones and foundation of your house, there is a plague? So the next word there in your blank is they move into houses that have a plague in the house, in the stones, in the foundation, in the structure of the house. How are we applying this tonight? Okay, we know what the interpretation is. We just talked about it a little bit. We're applying stones to memories and to thoughts in our life in this passage. So write this in. There are many thoughts and memories at the core of who we are as a person. Just like the stones that make up the foundation of a house. We have core memories, core thoughts, and those things can define us. They can be good thoughts, they can be bad thoughts, they can be true, or they could be lies. But what we believe can really form how we view ourselves and how we view God. And so write this in. Some of the foundational things we think about ourselves or God can be lies. So you may have a misconception, maybe something that you grew up hearing in church, or maybe something you just grew up believing, that either God is the genie or God is the angry Old Testament God. By the way, he's the same God in the Old Testament as he is in the New Testament. And so nothing has changed about his grace and mercy. It's still there. But some of those things that we grew up believing about God or even about ourselves may not be true. They can have the leprosy in them. They can be thoughts that plague us. Thoughts that plague us. They could be thoughts like nobody loves me. They could be thoughts like no one wants to be my friend. They can be thoughts like God doesn't like me. Or thoughts like I'm worthless. I'm damaged goods because of what I've done. I'm damaged goods because of what has happened to me. No one will ever love me for who I am. You know, for men, it could be you're not a real man. For ladies, it could be you're a bad wife, a bad daughter, a bad mom. And these thoughts can plague us. They can become part of who we are because we're listening. And when these intrusive thoughts come in and plague us, oftentimes people don't do anything about them because they've been with us so long. And they have led us to believe certain things about ourselves or about God, and they're making up the foundation of our lives. And so the Bible talks about, hey, when the house has got some leprosy within the stones, there's some things you can do about it. And so tonight we're really looking at when these thoughts sometimes can plague us and come to us, how do you handle that? How do you handle it when the devil is just full on attacking you mentally and telling you some lies about you, or telling you lies about your family, or about your spouse, about your kids, about your parents, about God? What do you do with those type of intrusive thoughts that are just coming at you that are like fiery darts from the devil? I want to give you two weapons tonight against that. First of all, I want to say this. When you're dealing with these type of thoughts, remember right things. Remember right things. I want to give you a great principle to remember, okay? I'm giving you another blank to write in right here. Here we go. And sometimes people think, Pastor's going quickly through these blanks. He's going to be done way before time. No, I'm not. I'm going to be done right on time tonight, okay? I just want you to know that, all right? Here is the principle to remember. Don't believe everything you think. Don't believe everything you think. I talked to the teenagers about this morning in chapel. Just because you think something doesn't make it true. Just because you feel something doesn't make it right. Just because you believe a certain lie, that doesn't mean that you should believe that thing. So just because you thought it doesn't make it true. We have that on our sheet here, right? Yes, we do. Just because you thought it, that doesn't make it true. Because what the devil's going to do, he's going to come to you and he's going to tell you lies about you. God doesn't love you. God's done with you. God doesn't answer your prayers. You think God hears you? God doesn't want to talk to you. God's angry at you. These type of stuff. Anybody else ever have this happen to them? Is it just me? All right. But the devil will come tell you that kind of stuff. And he will interject those thoughts and through the world system, through demons, through your flesh, whatever. But that doesn't make it true. Just because you thought it doesn't make it true. But also this, just because you thought it, that doesn't mean the thought originated with you. That doesn't mean the thought originated with you. Oftentimes, we think things, and we think that it came from us. But I know, because I will just tell you, and I talked to the teens about this a little bit today, there have been times where I have stood in this pulpit preaching the message that God had laid on my heart, or preaching the gospel for people to get saved, or, you know, doing something good, and in the middle of my preaching, thoughts begin hitting me. And I'm talking horrible thoughts. Thoughts I would never out loud even say to anyone. Not even a therapist, right? I wouldn't even, because why? Because those thoughts just hit me while I'm preaching. I've had it out soul winning. I've had it when I've been teaching the teenagers. But I also have them when I'm doing nothing. And those thoughts will just come into, and I'm talking horrible thoughts, but here's what the devil does. Those thoughts will come to your mind as an attack from the devil, and he'll say, how could you think that? You are a Christian, and you thought that? As if it came from you. But not every thought comes from you. The devil cannot read your mind. We know that. He's not omniscient. He can't do that. But can he speak to you? Can he lie to you? He's the father of lies. Absolutely he can. And so those lies will come at you, and they'll come at you. But we have to be very careful. And I used the illustration this morning with young people of a scarecrow in the field, right? A scarecrow is there to keep the crows away. All the scarecrow is trying to do is not let the crows settle in. And what do we do when thoughts that you did not purposely sit down and try to think, you did not purposely sit down and try to fantasize or come up with, but now they're in your head, what do? You don't let them settle. Just like the scarecrow is scaring the crows away. You don't let them settle. You do not let those thoughts sink in. And you have to remember good things. Here, write this in. When you have plaguing thoughts, you got to tell yourself the truth. No, that is not true about God. No, that is not true about me. No, that is not how I think. No, and I'm telling you, like, you'll have, and I see it with teenagers, I see it with adults, where people will have a thought, all of a sudden, I should just kill myself. The driving down the road, I should just turn right off this road and hit the tree. Intrusive thoughts that just suddenly hit you. And I know it's not just me that has these thoughts. I've heard other preachers that have preached in this pulpit have said, I can't even tell you the things that I've thought or that have come into my mind when I'm preaching or when I'm trying to preach. The devil is attacking constantly. But it doesn't mean it came from you. You have to remember the right things. In the Bible, in Numbers 11:5, children of Israel have come out of Egypt and they're wandering in the wilderness. And they said, we remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. Did I put this on your sheet there? They remembered the menu, but not the manual labor. They remembered the sustenance, but not the slavery. They remembered the cucumbers, but not the cruelty. They remembered the beets, but not the beatings. What am I saying? They remembered the wrong things. They didn't look back and say, hey, thank God he delivered us from slavery and bondage. I don't care what we eat. We're free. No, they're saying, I wish I had a leek right now. You know what? I don't miss leeks. I don't even think I've ever had one. Lived my whole life without them. You know? How many were just like, I could use an onion right now? No one. No one's thinking that, but they were remembering the wrong things, and that's what the devil does. He comes to you when you're down or when something's going on, and he makes you remember something and gets your attention off what the truth is. No, remember the right things. They needed to get their minds on the fact that God delivered them from literal slavery, from taskmasters with whips chastising them. God delivered them from that, and they're complaining about no melons. I mean, come on. Can I ask you this? When you look back in your life, write this in, is the only thing you see something negative? Are you remembering the wrong things? Because I guarantee you, if you look back at your life and you look at it through a biblical viewpoint, you will see the grace and mercy of God woven all through your life. But you got to look for it. Because I'll tell you this, you will find in your life what you look for. If you believe lies and you believe you're a victim and you believe that your whole life has been terrible, everywhere you look, everything you see will back up what you feel. Because you're looking for it. If I said, close your eyes tonight, I'm not going to make you do it. And I said, tell me everything you see in here that's gray. And you're like, okay, all right. And then I said, how about everything you see? I'm not talking about your hair, okay, ladies or any guys or some of you like, there's a lot of gray things to see here. I said, look around, look at all the gray things. How about if I did it this way? Look at all the gray things. And then I said, close your eyes. You close your eyes. And I said, now tell me everything that was blue. Well, you would say, well, I wasn't looking for that. I was looking for, because you see what you look for. You see what you look for. So if you're looking at your life and you say, I want to see the positive things God has done for me, you'll see them. But the default for most people is, look how negative things are. Look at how bad this is. Now, by the way, I'm not saying you need to repress every bad thought and hide it away in a box in your heart somewhere and pretend it never happened. No, I'm saying you need to choose to focus on the good. Because everybody's got bad stuff they could think about. But every trial teaches you something. Every burden teaches you something. Every sorrow teaches you something. And God has delivered you time and time again. Focus on that. Think about the good things. Remember the right things. So the plaguing thoughts are coming in and you're saying, no, 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 no. I'm waving the crows away. I'm not letting them settle in. No, God is good to me. And I can look back and see God's mercy at my salvation. And I can see God's mercy to get me to a good church and God's grace and mercy in my life here and there. And if you do that, boy, that's going to go a long way to getting those plaguing stones and plaguing thoughts out of your life. But not only do you have to do that, secondly, you got to replace the wrong things. You got to remember the right things, but you got to replace the wrong things. And these two really go hand in hand. Ecclesiastes 3:5 says, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. You know, in this passage we're looking at here at Leviticus, it says in verse 42... that they replaced some stones that had the plague in them. So the plague is in those stones. They don't leave those stones there. They take those stones out. But when they take those stones out, they don't leave it void and empty. No, they put other stones back in. A lot of times in our lives as Christians, when we take something out of our life, we try to stop doing something, we leave it blank and empty. But I want to show you, take your Bible, go to Luke chapter 11, please. Luke chapter 11. Luke 11 in the New Testament, Luke 11. Rattle your pages so it makes me feel like you're actually turning in your Bibles tonight, all right? There we go, Luke chapter 11. Some of you just clicked your iPad harder. Hear that? All right. Luke chapter 11. I want to say this. Some thoughts are worth remembering, and some thoughts are worth replacing. I'm not talking about, oh, I'm going to remember it differently than it actually happened. No, I'm talking about some thoughts are not worth dwelling on. It's not worth giving any more of your time and energy to thinking about that situation that you can't fix. That's called anxiety, which you're going to cause yourself. Look at Luke chapter 11, verse 24. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, in other words, someone that was possessed and it's gone, he walketh through dry places seeking rest, And finding none, he saith, I will return unto my house once I came out. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh to him seven other spirits, more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. What's this talking about? There's a principle of replacement. You kicked, this man got a demon expelled from his life, but he didn't replace it with anything. And so now, comes back with seven other spirits worse than him. The thought there is, you can't just get rid of something, you have to replace things. So, our daughter Kelly. Our daughter Kelly is a unique little animal, I mean girl. She, whatever space you give her, she's a four-year-old, whatever space you give her, she will fill it. Not just with her personality, she will fill it with objects. And so she has a room, and she won't, like, you know, just put things away. She has dolls lined up. I mean, everything, there's stuff on the floor. She lays out her blankets. She has filled the room. If she had free reign in our house, we would have, like, 7-Eleven cups full of grass here, and we would have, like, you know, something, a stick she found outside, perfectly synced up here. I think she may have some OCD, I'm not sure. But she's got some, she fills the space that she's given. You know, our minds are not vacuums. As much as we guys would, you know, when the wives say, what do you think about it? We say, nothing. Now, oftentimes, we're not actively thinking about anything. But our minds are not vacuums. Something is going on up there, no matter how slow it may be going on. Something is, it could be like Pong, where there's a ball bouncing back and forth, you know, between the two. But there's something going on, because our minds are not vacuums. Something will fill your mind. And if you don't take action to decide what fills your mind, the world and the devil will be happy to tell you what to think. And your flesh will be happy in the midnight hour when you can't sleep to tell you what to think. And that's pretty miserable. No, you have to remember the good things, and you have to replace the wrong things and say, no, I'm not gonna do that. You ever had a thought in your mind that you just dwelled on too long? You know, you don't even know if it's true, but you're just dwelling on it, and you're thinking about it, and you think, well, what if it is true? I got that text message from them. What did that mean? What do they mean by that? They said thanks. What do they mean by that? You know, like, and you begin to think and think, and you're dwelling on something for, and you can't solve the problem, and you're just dwelling on it. It could be described having our thoughts as plaguing us. You can't seem to shake it, even if you know it's not true, or if it's something you know would never happen. It's a plaguing thought. Here's a thought. Here's an exercise. Here, write this in if you would. Replace negative what ifs with positive what ifs. Because your mind will always be like, well, what if this? We're taking a plane ride this week. What if the plane crashes? What if there are Palestinians protesting violently in England? Which I'm sure there are. What if? What if? What if? Why don't you, and whatever your what if is, why don't you replace it with positive what ifs? What if God shows up and does a miracle? What if God uses the sorrow I'm going through to help somebody else? What if God is preparing me for a greater service to him? What if God is doing something amazing in my life right now and I just don't see it? What if tomorrow the whole situation at work changes? What if this is the year that my husband or my wife or my kids get saved? What if? And make it something positive. Here's another thought. Replace what if thoughts with what has thoughts. And what do you mean by that? Instead of thinking, what if this happens, think, what has God promised me? What has God already promised me? What has God already done in my life? Is there anything too hard for God? What has he already brought me through? What has he already told me he would do? You're changing thoughts and you're replacing them with good thoughts. Because Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Think on the good things. Dwell on the true things, the honest things, the just things, the pure things, the lovely things. If it's a virtuous thought, if there's anything praiseworthy about it, hey, dwell on those things. I think a good way to do that is get music in your life. Music. Muse means to think. Music fills your mind with good things. I mean, unless you're listening to Ozzy Osbourne at home or something. But music is filling your mind with good thoughts. I mean, you're doing, I'll be doing the dishes, because yeah, I do the dishes. And I'll be doing the dishes, and I'll have my little speaker on. I have my phone hooked up to it, and I'm listening to the music. And just, you know, as I'm just doing the dishes, I'm hearing things like, you know, for God's been good in my life. I'm blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. I'm listening to songs like that, and it's filling my mind. How can you think all the negative thoughts when you have those good things coming in? That's a good way, I think. It's amazing. Muse, to think. That's why amusement, without thinking. We want to do things without thinking. It's easy to be amused on YouTube. It's easy to be amused on Instagram, on social media. You're not thinking. But when you're not thinking, something's going to fill your mind. And I would encourage you to really consider, take charge of what you think about. No one is in charge of your mind but you. No one is. No one's mind controlling you. You can choose what you think about. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. What's that mean there? Bringing into captivity every thought. Here's what it means. Write this in. You take your thoughts captive, or your thoughts will take you captive. Take your thoughts captive, or your thoughts will take you captive. There's a lot of Christians living in a prison that was in their own mind that they are trapped in because they've chosen to dwell on those things. And you know what those things I'm talking about, whatever it may be. Instead of saying, no, I'm going to dwell on these things. Dwell on these things, the Bible says in Philippians 4:8. Hey, let those things be what we think about. To be any virtue, to be any praise, think on these things, not those things, these things. Take your thoughts captive, or your thoughts will take you captive. So tonight, I don't know if maybe there's been some crows attacking you, these thoughts that are coming at you, or to use the illustration here, there's been some leprosy in the walls, and there needs to be something replaced. There needs to be something remembered. But tonight, the questions as we close, what thoughts or memories are you focusing on? The hurt that someone caused you, the person that walked out, whatever it may be, what thoughts or memories are you focusing on? Secondly, are you battling some plaguing thoughts? Is that you tonight? Hey, remember that not every thought came from you. You don't have to feel bad about every thought. Drive it away. Don't let it settle in. You're not responsible for every thought that comes to your mind, but you are responsible if you dwell on it or think on it. Run it away. Is it time to stop dwelling on something and cast it down? Get it out of your life. That's the thought for tonight. I hope it is a help and blessing to you this week, as the devil will surely be attacking you and me on the battlefield of our minds.